I want to share with you some ideas about prayer. This is not primarily a Bible study, it is a practical study. We, I think, are agreed that prayer is right, prayer is good. We are, I think, agreed that what a privilege it is for us to have the right to go to the head of the universe. And, you know, his door open 24/7. Not just open where we can leave a note, a voicemail, a text, he'll get back to us. He is actively at attention when we speak. So here's the question. If it's all that good, why don't we pray? It's because we don't plan to. You know, if we dealt with eating like we do with prayer, we'd all be these emaciated skeletons dragging ourselves along. What'd you have to eat today? Huh? I think I forgot. I intended to this morning. It just wouldn't happen, would it? We feel driven. We'd feel hunger and thirst. But frankly, prayer is not that important to us. Let us take ourselves in hand. Let us plan to do the right thing. And so we want to look at tonight, just briefly, the equipment for the inner life of prayer. Prayer is that very much an inner life, an inner thing. I've often thought that of all the things we can do to serve the Lord, preaching, singing, ushering, we get seen doing it. And there's a principle that Christ reveals in the Sermon on the Mount, and that is, if you are rewarded by men for what they see you do, then you have your reward. I don't think that's absolute, because there are some things God has told us to do that must be noticed by men, like witnessing and so on. But if you're really dedicated as a witness, people are going to take notice. If you're really, really given to the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God, people are going to notice. It's not so with prayer. Prayer is the one thing, very important thing, very essential for the Christian life thing, that we can do, and nobody but God sees us. Therefore, in the end, it must be, above all things, the most rewarded. Because we didn't, you know, nobody comes up to you and says, "Wow, that was great, that whole hour you spent in prayer today." Nobody knows that, see, except for the person you shut out for that hour. But that's the thing. So, the quiet thing. Let's talk about a quiet place, a quiet hour, and a quiet heart. A quiet place. Here's the equipment for the inner life of prayer. A quiet place. I'm going to give you the ideal, and then we'll get down to more and more less ideal, but more practical, perhaps. First of all, the ideal is a room in the home. There, in the older books I read of people who had a prayer closet. I don't know what that meant. I don't know whether it was a place, just a bare room, whether it was a place with a chair, place with a cushion on the floor or something. In the film Sheffy, the evangelist carried with him a sheepskin. And that was to lay on the rough rocks and kneel without ruining the crease in his trousers. No, without ruining his skin. ideal is a room in the house. But when you do that, turn off the interference, you know, turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the stereo, turn off the telephone. Dedicate this. It's when the official says to his secretary, hold all my calls, I'm in an important meeting. That's what this is about. So perhaps you have a place of prayer in your room. Maybe you can designate a place in your home for that. But secondly, find a corner in a large room. And that you may need to focus entirely to eliminate the busy sounds of the room, other things going on in the room. But this is your prayer closet. It's that chair in the corner. It's that place that you claim for your own. It's a good idea to have the same place every day. What you'll find is that doing that, going to that place, automatically puts your mind in the place of prayer. It's as though you scheduled a meeting with God right then, right there. There may be people walking through that room. See. Third possibility, escape to the outside. Take a walk. Find a pleasant place to sit or even kneel. Soft grass, something like that. Bring your little kneeling blanket. Or spread it out on the grass and sit there and spend some time in prayer. And, you know, except for Indiana winters, that'd probably be a good idea. A little walk through the woods. I know it's going to sound weird, but I've had some very enjoyable meditation prayer walks with God going through a cemetery. Cemetery reminds you of the brevity of life. Everywhere you look, you see the evidence of somebody who used to be alive. There's that date of birth and that date of death, and the whole life is represented by that little dash in the middle. Things are brief, but they make cemeteries beautiful. I'm talking about the landscaping and so on. Or fourthly, all else failing, escape to your inner mind, that inner sanctum. Go deep into your mind. When you can find no physical quiet place, create one. Create an isolated place in your head. Close your eyes to the world. So, a quiet place. As I've been going through this, I trust that you actually have been traveling in your life, in your home, and recognizing there is a place. There is a place. I like to have a place where I sit. It's just really too difficult for me to kneel anymore. It's not the kneeling that's the problem. It's the getting up off the kneeling. My name's Jack. I need a Jack to get up. Somebody just pumped me up there. But prefer to sit, and then especially to have a place where I can have my Bible open. A little desk, table, something like that. So I have a couple places in my house where if one place is busy, two computer places. And so if my wife's on one, I can go to the other, and that'll be my place. The second thing is a quiet hour, a quiet time. Three things here. A, the ideal is to have an unrestricted amount of time. You are speaking to the most important individual in the universe. And you say, okay, God, let's make this quick. It just doesn't sound right. To have an unrestricted time. It'd be well to be able to pray until you were finished, however long that took. I love to be able to pray when, as I'm praying one thing, the thought comes about something else and I can pursue that. I end up praying about things I never intended to pray about. I think that's part of the listening to God, being influenced by Him. If this is impossible every day, plan a Saturday or Sunday when you will have several hours with no other responsibility. 2, 3, 4 hours. You say, well, I would never pray that long. Well, it's one of those things you haven't really tried yet. And then a weekday evening after supper might offer 3 to 4 hours available for prayer. I want you to think big. I want you to think, discuss everything with God. Have your prayer list to remind you. I would ask you to pray for me every day, but to pray for my wife and I every day. Pray for Pastor Porter and his wife and his children every day. Pray for Pastor Emiru and his wife and his family. And I say this in that way because you pray for the person, not just what they do. You pray for them. You want them to be blessed of God, the best they can be. But then we're to pray for one another, aren't we? So we ought to have some sort of a membership list and be able to be reminded, oh yeah, and then they're going through that, they're going through this, they're going through that. And you can pray for them without time limit. Then perhaps there are missionaries that you wish you had spent some time in prayer. You would like to really ask God's blessing on their work. And then there are other churches and other ministries. We're praying for Melody Baptist Church out there in Connersville. We're praying for these other works that become important to us. You have that list. But how long do you can you take? See? Well, it's because we've shut ourselves off. We're not willing to spend that amount of time. I'm too busy. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're just too busy. All right, that's the ideal. What's next? Okay, set aside an hour. Sweet hour of prayer. Set aside an hour. Find an hour. Schedule this with an alarm if necessary. An alarm, say, oh, I have to go. It's time for my prayer. Set the time for an hour later. Set the alarm to remind you reluctantly, I have to go, Lord. Duty calls. Learn to discipline your prayer with a list and practice until you can meet all of your goals in that hour. This is where you have to figure out some sort of priority to your prayer time. Now, matter of fact, an hour may be scheduled nearly every day. Let's just face the fact. There are none of us so busy by duty that we do not find any hour. In fact, you could rise an hour earlier than necessary to find that hour before leaving for work. You could set an hour aside before going to bed. You could find an hour in the middle of the day for prayer. You said, no, I have to eat lunch then. Well, how about fasting and prayer? How about giving that over to an hour of prayer? Right in the middle of the day, it's like finding an oasis of strength in the middle of a busy day. Possible. And finally, okay, grab any free time to get alone and speak to God in urgent prayer. Step aside, face the wall, go into a corner. Finding a quiet moment. But let's plan to do this. And then a quiet heart. a quiet heart. Going to God with your mind and heart already going to the next project. You know, I've talked about this a lot, where at the pastor's conference, you know, and I see these guys, the glad handers, you know. I've noticed it's characteristic. They come up to you, and there's this artificial smile, and it's, "Hi, how are you?" And they grab your hand, and while I'm saying, "Well, I'm fine, thanks," they're looking at who they're going to next. You know, so I'm it's just a tag. See you later. You know, I know I said, "How are you?" I didn't mean to ask a question there, really, guy. So stop talking. So I don't know what that was about. What was that? That was not really a greeting. I don't want to do that with God. God, so glad to be here. I really got to go. Thanks. Thanks for the time. Let's get a quiet heart. What's the ideal? The ideal is to be at complete and respectful peace. To have your heart agitated, focused on even a problem of yours, is neither complete peace nor is it respectful peace. Usher yourself into the presence of God Almighty, the Holy God, the God who doesn't need to hear what you have to say because he already knows. But you need to hear yourself talking to him. If you keep a daily schedule of prayer, you will find this helps a lot. You'll find your heart already prepared for quiet prayer. Just the whole process of getting into it at that time and at that place begins to work for you in that way. The essential part is to have the mind able to focus completely on what you pray. The time I mentioned that I went into my room and I dropped on my knees and I said, "Oh God, we're having this revival. I'm so burdened about this. I just wish that you..." And I stopped right there because it was just words off the top of my head. And I was acting as though, I was pretending that I was tremendously burdened about this, and I wasn't. And I was talking to God who knew. And I just stopped my words and I said, "Oh, that's stupid." And I confessed that before God. And I said, the real prayer request here is that I do get excited about this, that I do see the importance of it, that I have my heart prepared. It was a different prayer request entirely. Not bless the revival, it was give me a revival. Be able to focus completely on what you pray. I read in the old days, the contemplationists of the Middle Ages. They began with a time of silence that he might teach them what their lips should utter and what their hearts should expect. I find that works for me. Not that I consider myself a contemplationist. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But it's, I don't know what it is. It's like all the engines are running, you know, and I get to my time of prayer, and I just have to be quiet for a little bit. I have to be silent for a while. I have to let all that run down. Now I can think in quiet and speak to him. I have to stop talking first. Robert Murray McShane, great old preacher that was known for his prayer, said that very much of his prayer time was spent in preparing to pray. And he didn't find that wasted, because the prayer that followed was a prepared prayer. Second, use a holy exercise to bring the heart into prayerful submission. Dr. David McIntyre suggests performing these three simple acts of faith. Think this through. You would jot this down, for instance, on a scrap of paper, have it in your Bible, let's say, or on the inside leaf of your Bible, and say, I want to take my mind through three exercises in preparation for prayer, preparation of my heart for prayer. The first is recognize your acceptance before God. You are not an intruder. You were asked to come. You were invited to come. In fact, you were commanded to come. And you are welcomed to come. Meditate on that. Think that through. Consider the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in the sight of his Father. This is you're going to the Father clothed with Jesus Christ. Will he be glad to see Jesus? Will he be glad to see his Son? Will he be glad to see you in his Son? Yes. Acceptance. Accepted in the beloved. Consider the completeness of the sacrifice Christ made for you. How much did he save you? Bible says what? To the uttermost. To the very last part. That's the word we're talking about, evangelizing the world to the uttermost places. Consider that you enter the presence of the Father in the person of the Son. Think with me through Hebrews 10:19-23. Here's the counsel from the apostle. Having therefore, brethren, my fellow believers, boldness, and this is the word for liberty, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by what? By a new and living way, not the Old Testament way going into the tabernacle, but by the new and living way which he hath consecrated, he hath new made for us through the veil. Remember, there was a veil that hung between the holy place and the holiest of holies. Holiest of holies, that was where it represented the very presence of God. We get to go there through the veil. But what was that veil? He says, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. As you enter into this time of prayer, you have to go through the parted flesh of Christ. That's the image from the old covenant tabernacle and temple. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast, hold tight, the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because I think I can do it? No, because he is faithful that promised. What did he promise you for salvation? Ask me and I will answer. Trust me, believe in me, and I will save you to heaven forever. That was the promise. He gave his word, and he's faithful. So first was to recognize our acceptance before God. That's the first exercise of the heart and mind. Go through that. Recognize our acceptance before God. Number two, acknowledge the enabling grace of God. The grace of God is what gives you the power to deal with God. It was the grace of God that made your dead spirit wake up, rise from the dead. With that spirit alive, you now can communicate with God and he with you. Without the spirit being alive, you can only go through the actions of prayer. You can't really pray. I mean, you can't really communicate with God. Acknowledge the enabling grace of God. Think about what allows you to go before him in prayer. Consider the very personal work of the Holy Spirit within you. You have God within your heart residing that opens the way, translates your poor human language into the language of God for you. Consider that you have no spiritual power aside from the grace of God. So throw yourself upon the grace of God. Call upon that grace. And then pray that God will teach your heart of His grace. Expand my concept of your grace. And then third and last, the third prayerful exercise, begin your prayer with the words and concepts of Scripture. I think if we were to go meet the president or some important person, we would have rehearsed our words. We would have found out what's the right way to address this person. We would have rehearsed it so that in the excitement of the moment, we wouldn't be saying something really dumb. Begin your prayer with the words and concepts of Scripture. This is why Jesus gave us a model prayer. We're safe to use those words. Here's why. Your feelings may be chaotic, but the Scripture is steady. Your heart may be confused, but the Scripture is clear and simple. It will direct. Those words will direct your heart. Your mind may be filled with questions, doubts, but the Bible is filled with positive statements. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. What a great way to start.